You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts on Netroots Radio or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 11th, 2021. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where the state is officially reopened as of today, cornfields and all, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Thank you, Governor Pritzker, and everybody who got their shot in Illinois.
Shots. Yeah, we're open. We're open for business.
Yeah. Of all the states in the Midwest, we are number one in terms of second shots, in terms of first shots, and that's great news.
Come visit beautiful Illinois.
Come pretty visit soon, Illinois.
Pretty soon,
just
all
sure
of your...
you're fully vaccinated.
Yeah, well, that's right. We do have a wall, a small one around the state. It's actually, it's more of a corn maze. You know, you walk in one end,
you
walk out the other.
You have to walk through the corn maze. And in the middle of the corn maze is J.B. Pritzker with an immunization for you.
Here. Yes. Here's a ticket to Six Flags and a shot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And sadly, this will probably become a medical tourist destination for women's health care if the rest of the Midwest continues to slag back into the 14th century. But,
right.
You know, this is what happens when you don't elect Democrats. They drag you into the Stone Age and make you and pretend that you like it. So there's that. Anyway, it's great here. They put the broiler on high. So it's like 90 plus here. And
it's high.
Yeah, we have a thing here called a heat index. Which is what happens when you have 200% humidity. You can actually put water, a glass of water, on the air, and it just stays there. So it's like 100-something right outside, which we're not. So, bully for us. But there's this anxiousness that you don't just feel. I am on a bunch of committees that you can sense and you can see. People are like, let's get the summer going now, right now. Mm-hmm. Did you go to this thing? Did you go to that thing? And everyone is... there's kind of like a rush for the door the other way.
Uh-huh.
Which is everyone's planning their festivals and planning their food truck events and planning their concerts and planning their outdoor. And they're all sort of colliding with each other because there's only a certain number of days or evenings when you can do that stuff.
Yeah, right. Everybody wants Thursday night. I mean, because that's what you want. You want weekend eve for your food truck summer concert because people take Friday off anyway.
So I found myself working, like, as you know, last Sunday night until late.
I thought you were going to be gone for an hour and you were gone for 4.5 hours.
Yeah. No. And it's cool and fun. And it's a writing project, but it's not really a writing project. It's a community development plan project that needs to be thought through and written out and so forth. And
you've got to be able to market it to a wide variety of people.
Yes. And
so, and one of them is the mayor, and he's not going to be the kind of guy you're going to talk to like you talk to a bunch of tourists coming
to
town.
No. And, well, his attention span is about a minute. So, the first three slides are amazing. But it was a typical kind of, like, I'm sure if you all out there have been in the world of work for any length of time, a 3-hour meeting where the first hour is like, what the hell are we doing here? Why are we here? Why is anyone here? Why do we exist on this planet? And you sort of narrow it down to the thing you want to actually do, and then you work out the method for constructing it, and then you actually kick into work, and it went very quickly. But it was nice. It was weird to be able to say I really enjoyed having a Sunday night writing project.
Yeah.
Because
with other people face to face. Yeah.
Who are nice people and deeply involved.
And you want to do what's right for the city of Springfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're wide open now. Visit us. Come on down. Chicago is going to be, a zoo for the next 3 months, which is great.
We've got Lincoln down here. You can see lots of Lincoln things.
And we have we're going to have a copy. I think one of the original copies of the Emancipation Proclamation on display at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, which is awesome. I might go over there. And being a typical resident of a place, I don't ever go to the touristy things of the place.
Right.
So, not since I was 12 did I go to the tomb and rub Lincoln's nose.
I haven't been there yet. I moved here in 2008. I haven't been inside the Lincoln Library, and I have not been to the Frank Lloyd Wright House. And those are the three things that are everybody is supposed to do.
And I've been in the Frank Lloyd Wright House like a dozen times because we held meetings in there. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
tour, even though the house is not that big, the tour is really long.
Because
they go in great detail into Frank Lloyd Wright stuff.
And I can tell you this.
Yeah.
As a giant, freakishly tall human being.
Yes.
That house
you don't fit in that building.
No, that house was built to decapitate someone like me.
Yes, right.
I had to be very careful in the long, narrow, really cool, well-designed, Art Deco-ish looking table we sat at with the really cool chairs. Because if I sat under any of the hanging lamps, they were like suspended 5.5 feet off the floor.
And either you or the lamp was going to break.
Yeah. And you know what?
Yes.
The lamp is way more expensive than me.
Way more, a lot more than your head. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway,
we want to get into the news pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because some horrible things have been happening. The Trump administration was found to be spying on Congress. That's the way I put it.
Yeah.
This is as bad as anything Nixon did times three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, John Mitchell, you know, went to jail for stuff that
for 19 months for
this. It's a rounding error compared to what Bill Barr was doing just as his job, just as his normal flunky hack lawyer for a mob president. And it's all recorded. It's all available to, you know, at the fingertips of lawyers who investigate. This is not a big secret. There's no like little fraction of a piece of tape.
Apple was not allowed to. They were under a gag order.
Right.
Until that's why we found out about it this week is because Apple was under gag order until yesterday, I guess.
Yes, when they were told you can talk now by the same Justice Department, and they talked. But it's not like you had to find a secret tape recording.
No,
this was all done, and this is what this reminds me of. Really, I was thinking about this just the other day while I was pretending to write at a writer's project. I was thinking about this other thing, which was, this reminds me in a weird way of the Bush administration, in which the Bush administration wanted to do some shit that was flagrantly illegal, torturing people, black bagging people, bugging Americans without a warrant, throwing people in jail for an infinite length of time with no warrant and no paperwork is all flagrantly illegal and against American values. And it's just something we don't do. And George Bush said repeatedly, we don't torture people. That's not something we do. And when in fact, that's what he was doing. So they went out lawyer shopping. And let's find an asshole named John Yoo who will write a paper saying that it's okay to torture people and then make sure he has a job for life at a law school because, you know, you got to pay the guy off. And then if and when we get caught, we can say, well, lawyer said it was okay. Same thing here. Trump went shopping for the most despicable, hateful, lunatic, sadistic assholes he could find, plug them into government positions, and then said, well, you know, the attorney general said it was okay. You know, Stephen Miller said it was okay. All these people who have titles that you refer to when you try to find out something's legal or not said it was okay. So I didn't know any better. And it is time for the whole rat's nest to be swept out into the Potomac River. Because they're just
at least into a prison.
Well, yeah. Let's say that the raft, the super criminal prison from the Marvel Universe, is in the Potomac River. Let's just pretend that's true. They should
go
there.
I feel like I have to interrupt everything here for a minute because I'm burned out by all of this.
Me too.
I'm burned out by living in an unjust world. In a just world, these guys would be in prison.
Yeah.
And they would get out of prison and they would go into private life and not have a lucrative job waiting for them at Newsmax or Fox.
Yeah.
And we are living in a world where a third of this country is brainwashed by right-wing media. And therefore, there's lucrative jobs waiting for anybody that does this.
Yes, there are.
And part of it is all of that, just being burnt out by the injustice of everything. And part of it is that my dad's been sick this week. And he had surgery last week. He's 85. He does the New York Times crossword puzzle in ink every day. He's very sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had a really rough week. And in part, that is simply because he's 85. And in part, it's because the medical community in which he is operating is not treating him right.
Mm-hmm.
My sister took him to his pre-surgery meeting with his doctor, and his doctor talked to my sister the whole time as if he wasn't there, as if he was a pet. And part of that is him being 85, and they just think, well, he's not copus mentis, right? He's not able to make decisions. You obviously drove him here. But my dad's very sharp, and then, you know, the situation, the surgery had complications and pain, and he had to go to the ER, and, you know, it's a long story that I didn't get into all of it, but that has been weighing on me.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, Drift Glass, have for almost the entirety of the pandemic.
Yes.
Been getting up in the morning and watching morning prayer.
Yes.
From Canterbury Cathedral. And
yes, we have.
I wanted to bring that up because this week is the 1 year anniversary of the viral cat.
Yes.
Who appeared at.
That's right.
The YouTube channel of Canterbury Cathedral. And. Mm-hmm. This was not something that was planned by Canterbury Cathedral.
No.
That this cat named Tiger, who is one of the cathedral cats, would jump up on it's the dean who does this little service. Yes.
In the great outdoors.
Yeah, he does it out in the garden, right? And he reads the morning prayer office, and then he does a little prayer and a little thing about on this day in history, and then you're done. And you're done with church for the day in 20 minutes. That's kind of how we look at it. But here's Tiger, and Tiger jumps up on the table, and you probably remember this if you were paying attention at the time. Tiger the cat dipped his paw in the dean's milk for his tea and licked it off and repeatedly drank the milk the cream from the dean's tea.
This is delicious. Yes.
This is delicious. This is mine. I'm going to do this. Tiger became really an international sensation because it was funny, and it was the beginning of lockdown, and it was tough times, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And here is this funny thing that happened with a cat during a religious service. And then later on, there was that one of the other cathedral cats, Leo, walked under the dean's cassock and just decided to park there.
Well, and there was a whole YouTube thing where, and then you show an entire disco full of cats having a party.
Right, right. Inside there. Right. And so.
Anyway.
But it was interesting this week to be reminded, oh, it's been a year since we saw Tiger drink the milk. Mm-hmm. And that's when it caught our attention that this YouTube channel existed, and we started watching, and it was a lovely way to start the day. And so this week, I was just feeling like a sense of utter burnout over the news. Just, I don't want to deal with these assholes anymore.
Yep.
They all need to go to jail. You know, and I got really upset one evening. Not because, I mean, yes, I was hearing a lot of news, but my thinking was going to, okay, which buildings do I personally have to blow up to get these roadblocks out of the way what I want to see happen. Because minority rule seems to be the way things are going in this country right now. And that is just incredibly unfair and frustrating.
Well, and if I just want to interrupt for a second to say, since we were talking about Nixon and John Mitchell and prison for people.
Yeah.
At least the reaction when it came out that Nixon was doing illegal shit, spying on people, terrorizing them, bribing people. The reaction was, holy shit, how the hell did that happen? And let's get these assholes out of government and let's get these assholes off the stage. Now, granted,
and Republicans were horrified. There were a critical mass of Republicans in Congress who said, no, you can't do that.
You can't do that. And granted, there's, you know, if you listen to the Rachel Maddow podcast, there's a hardcore who just thinks Nixon should have burned the tapes.
Right.
They will always be with us. That's the Republican Party. That's the bottom tier of the GOP. Now it's just, well, you know, the reaction is, well, what do you expect? These are Republicans. This is how they are. This is what they do. There's nothing could be done about it. Mitch McConnell
is bulletproof. I don't mean that in a threatening anyone's life.
No, you mean they're invulnerable.
That in a sense, like bulletproof coffee.
There's nothing that can be done about
them. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to fix this.
So rather than, because it is immutable that the Republican Party is a monster factory, a shit pile of racists and imbeciles, and that can never change, all of everyone's attention is focused on, well, how do we fix the corner of the Democratic Party that isn't doing what it should do? Mm-hmm. Because nothing else is fixable. Let's all gang up on Joe Manchin. I'm all for ganging up on Joe Manchin. But it's like, okay, I get it. But you realize the reason everyone's pissed at Joe Manchin is because the entire Republican Party is a teeming shithole of traitors and monsters.
It's easier to focus on Joe Manchin than on 50 Republicans. Right. Yeah. I want to get back to my finish up my story of Tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger, who is one leg short from the beginning of this pandemic to the end. He got cancer in his paw and had to have an amputation. And, you know, today he was drinking milk out of the...
Yes, he was.
...the pitcher, because he can balance on his back legs and dip his paw in the milk just as he did before.
And jump up on a table.
On the table. And he's doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened this week when I reached that level, and I know to watch my own thinking, and I don't like myself when I start thinking about blowing up buildings or, what do I have to set fire to make progress in America? That's not the way I like to think. And I know that's human will and it's wrong and it's not constructive.
Right.
And I want to be constructive.
Right.
But, and I don't know which day it was, but at the end of every single morning prayer, Dean Roberts says the benediction. And I have heard the benediction this year 365 times. Yeah. You and I never missed a day, I don't think.
Well, sometimes I have early morning meetings.
Yeah, but we've kept up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times this year, we've heard this benediction.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, this week when I heard it, it was like hearing it for the first time. It was just a sword into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. It just says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God." Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That's also from Philippians 4:7. I mean, that's what Paul says at the end of one of his letters. So it is biblical. It's also in the Book of Common Prayer. But I'm not saying that to proselytize. I'm just saying find some sort of source of peace, because you're going to need it over the next rest of your life.
70
but certainly
years.
Within the next 2 years, you're going to need it.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I always say about, you know, before elections, chop wood, carry water.
Mm-hmm.
And after elections, chop wood, carry water.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time to figure out what that means to you.
Yes, exactly.
What is chopping wood and carrying water going to be for you for the midterms?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be postcards to voters, phone calls, finding one candidate that you're going to contribute financially to, or multiple candidates? Or are you going to, how are you going to work?
I've got a
few avenues that I'm going to work on, and I know Driftglass is working on community development too, and in addition to politics.
How are you going to get people to the polls?
How are you going to get people to the polls? Yeah.
To vote these people out of office.
Yep.
That particular benediction doesn't promise any solutions
to
the world's problems. That's a whole different category of discussion.
But it also ends with, the blessing of God be upon those whom you love and those who you would pray for. And that was also very calming for me, for my dad, just that I needed to recognize that. And we always say too, that, the purpose of me saying all of that is not to proselytize. I don't believe in converting anyone to anything. I just don't. In fact, I think that's very much against my religion. Cause I think that my higher power may have different plans for you that might include atheism, and that's great.
That's fine.
But I wanted to share that just because I think I'm not alone with the level of frustration feeling this week.
Well, and I'd like to avoid spoiling anything for anyone. mm-hmm. because there's a number of television programs and radio programs and podcasts, which are glorious and wonderful. No one should spoil them for you. I will only mention that in one, there is a speech by a character to a bunch of bereaved people. And it's in response to the person running the ceremony not understanding what these people are going through. And standing up and saying, you can't just ask people to be, you know, speak spontaneously. You have to warm them up. These people, and this is the part that resonated with me so strongly. These people are exhausted. These people are tired. They don't have, you can't do this to them. Instead, ask them questions, solicit information from them. And that part really rang true because everyone I know is exhausted. This is like we fought all the way up, and I don't mean to take anything away from the heroes of D-Day. We have fought all the way up the beach, and now is the battle over? Oh, no, no. We're just at the hedgerows in France. We just made it past the first line of defense. And now the people who are trying to wreck this country are regrouping and massing and very carefully using every tool available to them to burn everything in their path as they retreat.
And they're desperately searching for brainwashing tools.
Yes.
Because woke didn't work hard enough. And so critical race theory is working.
These are the tools
of white nationalism.
It is. They are. And that's what they are. And what's different than, again, the Nixon era is that everyone's cards are face up now.
Yeah.
These are people, you know, when Mitch McConnell says, you know, the era of bipartisanship is over, he's smirking.
Yeah.
That's him, to
the camera.
Yeah. That's his way of saying, fuck you all. I can lie my ass off. Not one goddamn reporter among you has the balls to call me on it. My party ain't going to do shit. And I have all the power here because I can stop anything. Because Joe Manchin is shitting himself at the thought of voting against anything or voting for anything that 10 other Republicans, which I know all of them and they're all traitors, will ever vote for. So he's in my pocket. So I can sit up here and say whatever the fuck I want. And my party will do nothing about it. And you can't do anything about it because we have these rules. And rather than slightly modify the rules to make it possible to do good things, which Mitch McConnell himself did when it came to ramming through Supreme Court justices, I can just flip over. And the press corps just sort of shrugs and says, well,
not just Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, no,
all judges.
All judges. But we're not going to have 60 votes for Supreme Court. We're going to ram through everything I want. I'm going to undo the filibuster.
Everything I want will be at a 50 vote threshold.
Right.
And anything you want will never happen.
Not a second thought about it. And then when it came, and this has been true of the GOP in increasingly obvious ways my entire adult life. The entire Clinton administration was devoted to hunting Bill Clinton like a wild animal because he was not legitimate, he was immoral, he was a monster, and that election doesn't fucking count. And then when an actual immoral man, George W. Bush, actually did steal an election and actually did fuck the country over and actually did run up deficits and actually did destroy the U.S. military and actually did lie us into a war, the same people were like, well, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
And Dick Cheney's response to panic over, didn't we just say the deficits are terrible? Didn't we just tell Bill Clinton that you don't get anything until you pay off our deficit? His response was, hey, Reagan taught us deficits don't matter.
Right.
We know this is bullshit. The people in charge of the Republican Party are not naive. They're criminals. They're traitors. They know exactly what they are doing. The people who I'm afraid of are the 74 million brainwashed meatheads who don't know or don't care, who think that what they're doing is somehow fighting for liberty and patriotism, just like those good Germans did, I'm sure, when they were pointing guns at our troops on Normandy Beach. They're fighting to defend their home country. So it is up to us to acknowledge the fact that we are fucking tired of this. And that every hill, there's another hill. You know, there's the story of the explorers who reach the Rocky Mountains and they get over the first range and look and like, holy shit, there's 150 more miles of mountains beyond this thing. And yeah, that's the deal. And other than the fact that there are more of us than there are of them, and we are on the right side of history, and we can proceed with confidence that what we are doing is right and just, and we are on the side of the angels, even though we occasionally make mistakes, sometimes big mistakes. Mm-hmm. And we have each other.
Yes. Yes.
That is incredibly reassuring to me, because none of that were true, then I would just give up all of this and go, you know, work as a Walmart greeter because nothing matters. But
right.
Things actually do matter.
And I'm also grateful for a couple other things. One thing I'm really grateful for is that Democratic turnout in the Virginia primary this week was massive. It was as big as they had in 2017, which was a record.
Mm-hmm.
And one Democratic congressional staffer said, yeah, you can put those questions about Democratic enthusiasm to bed.
Yeah.
So Terry McAuliffe, who, you know, I have a few problems with, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I think he'll do fine as governor of Virginia in terms of keeping Medicaid expanded.
Yeah.
And et cetera. Listen to the science and so forth. He won the nomination with at least 301,811 votes. That's how many votes he got in the primary. The person who's going to be his Republican opponent in the general election, Glenn Youngkin, won his party's nomination, and he had 10,318 votes.
Man.
So you're talking about 30 times the number of votes. I think Terry McAuliffe is likely to be the next governor of Virginia.
Maybe Republicans are just waiting to pounce. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, just, and now it's a general election, so it's different.
Yeah,
but
yeah. That's great news.
But there was enthusiasms. That's the point.
Right.
There was enthusiasms. The other news that made me happy this week, going backwards in our notes, sorry about that. Lauren Boebert's voters are fed up with her after 6 months, Strickland.
Oh, no. She's not mouthy enough.
This is a report in Politico that actually went out and interviewed some, you know, non-Trumper voters to talk to them about what they want. And you know what they want, Drift Class? They want an infrastructure bill.
Really?
Yeah.
In the great state of Colorado, they need things built?
They actually talked to people in Pueblo, Colorado, which has, they call it Steel Town. There's a steel mill there, and there's steel generated from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it is steel that will be used if and when the infrastructure bill that Biden has put forward passes, which includes expansion of Amtrak.
I see.
Expanding Amtrak will require the use of this steel for its tracks. And so the people that are involved with and working for that steel plant would really, really, really like the Amtrak portion of the infrastructure bill to pass, because that's really money in their pockets. Directly, we'll get this. If this passes, we'll have money.
So when Lauren Boebert says, stop the steal.
When she takes a cardboard cutout of Kamala Harris to the border with a camera crew and starts wailing about giving children to the cartel, the cartel is the new Benghazi. It just is.
When she says, stop the steal. She means stop the steel plant,
plant from actually having any jobs in my district.
Everyone loves a congressperson who works overtime to get rid of jobs in their area.
Right.
That's just a fact of life.
Also doesn't return phone calls and blocks constituents who don't like her. And Lauren Boebert also doesn't seem to have much interest in constituent services.
No.
Legislation that might create jobs in her district. And she'll find a reason to vote the way House leadership tells her to vote, because she's not very smart. And I hate saying that, because I'm not the smartest person in the universe. In fact, Driftglass and I were very happy to meet one of our listeners this week, who I think is smarter than both of us.
Yeah. Well, based on what he said and what he does for a living and his choice of spouse and what she does for a living, I would say that's probably true, Blue Gal.
Yeah, but we were very pleased to meet one of our listeners for coffee, and we're always happy to do that if you're swinging through Springfield.
Sure.
Hit us up. Tom Cotton.
Yeah.
You want to talk to about this brilliant person, Tom Cotton, who's got a good education.
He's not unintelligent. He simply knows his party.
Yeah.
And he knows that there is a this has been going on for decades. This has been going on since Rush Limbaugh, you know, started calling people feminazis and libtards, and you know, there was a whole, let's call them socialist. What does that mean? We don't know, but we know it's bad, so we'll call them that, and that's what they'll be. And so, and there's now a small grab bag of terms that they just grab out at random and slap on the wall and call Democrats that and blame everything on that. Because, and this actually goes directly to Lauren Boebert and her voters. I had a sort of an online interaction with someone today who was talking about Louis Gohmert. And good God, this person, Louis Gohmert. And my comment was, now take Louis Gohmert. Now imagine someone who will go and vote for Louis Gohmert. Or vote for Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Tom Cotton has a clear and precise understanding of his own party. He's not stupid. He's very smart. He's very well educated. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly who the base of his party really is. And what he knows for sure is that no matter how awful the Republican Party fucks up, no matter how many times they screw over their own voters, no matter how many steel jobs they lose because Lauren Boebert's a lunatic, no matter what happens, fire, flood, it doesn't matter. They can always blame liberals. Always. That's their magic trick, which is they have an Emmanuel Goldstein built into their ideology, which is however badly things fuck up, it's always Obama's fault. It's always Biden's fault. It's always Clinton's fault. And trying to reason with him is like trying to reason with a housefly. It doesn't work. So knowing this, Tom Cotton just goes to the little bag of buzzwords that they're issued every week by Fox News and Hate Radio. So this week, Tom Cotton explained that racism and sexism did not exist in the military before Joe Biden was elected. I know this comes as a shock to basically every sentient being in the United States who was like, what did he just say? No, there was no racism or sexism in the military before Joe Biden. And now I'm quoting Mr. Tom Cotton, the growing mistrust between the races and sexes where none existed just 6 months ago. Now that's amazing enough, right? That's astonishing. But what caused this horrible rift, this sudden and unbreachable rift on race and sex? It was critical race theory. Not a single of these 74 million meatheads knows what the fuck that even is, but they know it's bad. And they know it's bad because they've heard Tucker Carlson say a million times that every problem in their life is caused by critical race theory. Used to be Benghazi, used to be Hunter Biden's laptop, used to be Hillary's emails, used to be
Solyndra.
Solyndra could have been Grey Poupon. I don't know. Could have been Clinton. Could have been sex scandals. Could have been the MENA airport. The point being, there is just a part of the Republican brain where if you just push it, it resets everything. They forget everything, and they know that the new word that they're supposed to run around yapping about, and you know this is happening when you go down to your grocery store and you run into one of your meathead local Republicans in his overalls and his dirty T-shirt, and he's got a lot of opinions about critical race theory and how it's screwing up America. And you're just like, wow, they really do just take a shit in your skull every night, don't they? And it comes out your mouth every day. And, I am now spared the responsibility of caring about anything having to do with you. Anything you say, everything you say is polluted and dumb. You're just not worth my attention. I don't think of you as a sentient, grown-up human being anymore. I think of you as a reprogrammable meatbag because that's how you keep behaving. Now, on the other side, there's Charlie Kirk, who really is an idiot. He is the GOP base. Tom Cotton knows what he has to say to the GOP base to become president or whatever. Charlie Kirk is that base. And Charlie Kirk said that using the word equity in a curriculum is absolute proof that critical race theory is right there and you can just smell it.
Equity.
Equity.
Yeah.
Now, my question was, Charlie Kirk is a wealthy young man. Who's I believe a college dropout and again, an idiot, a big, dumb, white, racist idiot, but he makes a lot of money with his Turning Point USA thing. He's never missed a chance to screw everything up. His press conferences are an embarrassment. The lies he tells always fall apart. Doesn't matter. But my question is, the house he bought for himself with the money that idiots give him, does he have equity in that house?
Equity.
Now?
Uh-oh.
And, Is he living?
Critical race theory is in the house.
It is the roof under which he lives. So I don't know if I can trust Charlie Kirk, because he seems to be one of those critical race people, because he said the word equity. It's probably in his mortgage.
I know. That's true. That's true.
But those are the two moving parts of the GOP. There are the people who are the beasts of burden, the brute beasts who do all the hauling and lifting and can be told anything and believe it. And then the people who ride them, like the beasts of burden that they are, the Tom Cottons, who just say, yeah, critical race theory, let's go over here. Let's go over there. And there is no force on earth inside the GOP that will stop them.
Right.
They are just an implacable, detrimental, treasonous, lunatic force that has been building in this country for decades. And now they are
and
here.
There is a reward for being either one of those.
Oh,
the reward,
yeah,
if you are riding them, is you get power and money. And if you are that beast of burden, you get to own the libs.
Sure.
And and then there's Marsha Blackburn, who basically does what Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell tell her to say.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to tweet this week that while Americans suffered, Fauci wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone to the left of us and our gang reminded her that she wrote a book last year, and she was on The View talking about her book in November. And Fauci did not write a book. Fauci, the book about Fauci, or that had words from Fauci in it, was compiled from interviews Fauci gave in connection with a forthcoming documentary film, as pointed out by No More Mr. Nice Blog.
Oh, so he's a Holly weird liberal is what you're saying.
But Marsha Blackburn pays no price for that.
No, of course not.
Because she's immune, and her audience, the audience for that tweet, had no interest in anything, as you said, past Dr. Fauci wrote a book, you see, so he's a bad person.
And if I go to the store tomorrow to pick up a dozen eggs, because Junior Dude has burned through the eggs again, and I don't know, pizza or something, and a few odds and ends, if I run into the guy in his long underwear with his dirty t-shirt, he's going to say, Fauci wrote a book. You know he wrote a book instead of taking care of Americans. and that's why, again, it just, I can see it happening.
And the name of that man is Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, yes. Well, Mike Pompeo is the lexographer of it. He really is the catalogueur.
His Twitter stream has all, it's all as much jello as he can throw at the wall to see what will stick. And really, it is a useful lexicography of right-wing brainwashing words at Mike Pompeo's Twitter stream. We've got critical race theory. You've got woke. And it goes on and on and on. Fauci. Yes. Mm-hmm. And China. Don't forget. China. We deserve answers from China. Mm-hmm. We deserve answers.
Well, I don't know if you remember in Hot Fuzz, one of the characters, Mr. Frost, Nick Frost, says, is there a place in the human brain where if you shoot it, your head will explode? And the answer is no. But there is a place in the Republican brain where if you plug a word in, it will erase everything they have learned up until that moment.
AOC, Nancy Pelosi.
AOC, oh my God. And it is so open now. As I said, all the cards are being played face up. They're not they're not pretending that their base is anything other than mindless pack mules while hauling around their stupid agenda. They're not pretending they care about democracy anymore. They certainly
don't
care
about. But I think this is why we need humor writers.
Yes, we do.
On our side.
Desperately.
And we need to make this political battle we have as fun as possible.
Well, it's hard to get
as much ridicule and joking as possible, that they are absurd, that our opponents are absurd. Did you know that apparently a cicada landed on Biden's collar while he was on his trip?
You mean the secret microphone that was planted there by...
Well, just so you know, cicadas are... hibernate for 17 years, and the 17th letter of the alphabet is Q, and landing on the collar means a message, and so it's actually all from Q. That whole event is a message from Q, the cicada on Biden's collar at the airport. etc. is all a message from Q. Now.
First of all, I don't know where you were raised, but where I was raised, they're called cicadas.
Oh, cicadas.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. You were raised in a far off land.
I was raised in Ohio. We called them cicadas.
And you were taught critical race theory as a child.
Critical race theory.
And no, you were like a communist sleeper cell for America. Secondly, if I may quote from Voltaire just this once, I have never made but one prayer to God, a very short one. Oh, Lord, make my enemies ridiculous, and God granted it.
Yep. Exactly.
And they are ridiculous. I mean, it's hard to get.
And these queries are going to be lit, and everyone is going to have to answer for, do you think cicadas, or how do you pronounce it, cicadas, or do you pronounce it cicadas? Are they a message from Q or not? Because where we go one, we go all.
You mean Q-cadas? You mean
Q-cadas.
Mm-hmm.
The Q, and you know, are they related to Al-Qaeda?
Well, as much as it pains me, as much as I agree that, you know, we need phalanxes of comedy writers and funny people and clever people, it's hard to get ahead of Louis Gohmert on that curve.
It is. It's very hard to get ahead of. What planet does he live on, as I asked him?
He lives here. You know, him and Bill O'Reilly, you know, tide goes in, tide goes out. Nobody knows how that works. Hey, that's Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And at that point, he should have been laughed off. But it took, you know, multiple sex scandals and enormous payouts.
Well, he's back on the stage with Donald Trump later this year.
Yes, he is, because they always come back. Like cicadas, they always come back. They hibernate for a little while and they come out and they go, oh, hey, whatever happened to that guy? Because that part in the soft Republican skull just disappears, that knowledge. What Bill O'Reilly did, they just know that they like him. They have the sort of the central nervous system response, the solar plexus response to Bill O'Reilly is, ooh, 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 friend. Friend, and they just forget everything else, and they have been trained to look at anything on the left of anything, look at anything involving any Democrat anywhere, because all Democrats are illegitimate, all Democrats have stolen every election since Clinton, and think enemy, and it's really as rudimentary and animalistic as that. They just friend enemy, and enemy bad, and enemy critical race theory, and tomorrow will be something else. It'll be, like you said, it'll be woke, it'll be AOC, it'll be gravitation. I don't know. It's cicadas. Who the fuck knows? But on the right, the people riding the beast are just dreaming up new shit to tell the morons because they got to be fed every day. And eventually they get tired of saying critical race theory because that's a lot of words.
Yeah, it is. Right.
You have to shrink it down to something. I thought they were mad about cathode ray tubes for a long time, but it turned out, no, that it's a different CRT they're mad about. Shall we move on to the Department of Justice?
Sure, because they woke up today and decided to do a couple things. Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz announced that his office is now initiating an inquiry into the Trump Department of Justice use of subpoenas to obtain communication records of House Dems and their families, including minor children.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, as we said at the top of the show, this is 12 Watergates.
Yeah, they were running a police state. They were running a police state, and they were, if Trump had been reelected, all of this shit would have come out in the open because there'd be no stopping it. There'd be show trials of their enemies. Eric Swalwell would be up behind bars right now. This is how these things happen. And the fact that Trump didn't get reelected is what forestalled this, but they're hell bent on doing this because this is how all authoritarian states look. They look exactly like this. And occasionally they're interrupted and things happen and the pooch didn't go as planned, but they're not giving up on this. We are in much worse shape today than we were on January 6th. And that's terrifying to me. That is exhausting to me, but it's also part of the fight, and it's the fight that we have to win. Merrick Garland, bless his heart, said the Civil Rights Division is going to need a lot more lawyers. Mm-hmm. Announcing he will double it in 30 days and vigorously use existing laws, including the Voting Rights Act, the Motor Voter Act, and the Help America Vote Act, and more aggressively protect the right to vote. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I still don't know what nine-level chess he's playing with the Trump rape case, though, and the defamation case with E. Jean Carroll. I don't get that.
Well, as we said, he's not a liberal firebrand.
He's not a liberal.
No, he's a centrist. Tapioca, everyone can agree he's a competent guy, compromise candidate left over from the Obama administration.
Right.
And that's about all that they were going to get.
Hey, Driftless, let's do a news roundup.
All right. After you, Blue Gal.
This week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, there's another source for your Republican code words.
Yeah.
Celebrated the suspension of Rebecca Jones from Twitter shortly after signing social media deplatforming law that gives every Floridian the power to fight back against deplatforming and allows any person to sue big tech companies for up to $100,000 in damages.
Yeah. Our coffee guest this week, we had a listener come in and have a little coffee with us, pointed out that this bill, the wording of this bill, is the very definition of Orwellian.
Yeah.
It is writing into law that basically you can't criticize me. Mm-hmm. And enforcing that in the name of freedom of expression.
Right.
Which is, you know, welcome to Florida. Speaking of things that keep coming back no matter what you do, Jeffrey Toobin is back on CNN, baby. Because when you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette.
When you're a white guy, friend of the head of CNN.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women out there without blue check marks who are just fucking done.
Well, there's a lot of women out there without blue check marks who I'm sure didn't masturbate on camera.
They didn't.
In front of their colleagues. And then, you know, because they don't know
how. And they don't have Jeffrey Toobin jobs.
No, they don't.
And they never will.
And they never will, because Jeffrey Toobin is on the inside of the club. And when you're on the inside of the club, there's no getting rid of you. You will always, the people on the inside of the club will fight and claw and scratch to get you back in your proper seat. Because if the cartel ever breaks, if it turns out that you can actually lose your position inside the insider club for like being wrong or doing stupid shit or offending people or being horrible.
That threatens everybody.
That threatens everyone. Suddenly we're all going to be measured. We're all going to be judged. We're all going to have to
be held responsible for our actions. Oh no.
It kind of reminds me of the Bill Murray bit at the beginning of Ghostbusters, you know, the private sector, they expect you to deliver, you know, and suddenly thrusting these people into a marketplace where they can lose their jobs for doing their jobs badly is their worst nightmare.
Right.
So they all have to protect each other, and Jeffrey Toobin is a beneficiary of that.
The Trump Justice Department continued to pursue a CNN reporter's records for half a year after a federal judge said the argument for access to internal emails was speculative and unanchored in any facts.
Yep. Banana Republic shit. The Keystone XL oil pipeline project was canceled after President Joe Biden revoked a key permit. Way to go.
Yeah, the company canceled it. Yeah. It's not worth it anymore.
Yep.
Keep fighting, folks. 75% of respondents from 12 nations said they were confident that Biden would do the right thing regarding world affairs, compared with 17% for Trump last year.
Yeah. You know, a lot of those are shithole countries, Blue Gal.
Shithole countries, you know. But I thought that racism started 6 months ago, Driftglass.
Well, and remember, shithole countries only count as 3/5 of a country. So, you know, that you gotta factor that in. Joe Biden ended negotiations with a group of Republicans led by Shelley Moore Capito over infrastructure legislation, telling Capito that the latest GOP offer did not, quote, meet the essential needs of our country to restore our roads and bridges, prepare us for our clean energy future, and create jobs. Which, as an aside, is exactly the markers that Barack Obama laid out for the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
He told Republicans, I don't care what we call it. I don't care who passes it. You all put your name all over it. But it has
to meet these benchmarks.
And they just told them to go pound sand and fuck off, which is exactly what they're doing to Joe Biden. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Biden was disappointed that Republicans had increased their proposed new investment by only $150 billion after he reduced his plan by more than $1 trillion.
And now he's trying again with a bipartisan group of senators.
Yeah.
And at some point he's going to have to say, oh, I guess we're done.
Yep. Well, and this is the part where...
And what I mean by get done is we're going to have an infrastructure bill pass this summer.
Right. Some infrastructure bill has to pass.
No doubt in that. If we have to throw $1 trillion at Joe Manchin's state, we'll do it. We're going to have an infrastructure bill.
And if we throw $1 trillion at Joe Manchin's state, which we might have to do, then we also have to turn around. Joe Biden or someone in his administration has to very publicly say, where the fuck are those 10 Republicans you thought were reasonable there, there, Joe? Where are they? Name their names. I will go visit them in their home and mix them cocktails. But it's time to start humiliating Joe Manchin in public because Joe Manchin is a problem. And, you know, so anyway.
And he's up for re-election. So
yes, he is.
The Biden administration will buy 500 million doses of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine to donate to 92 lower income countries and the African Union. I also understand they're going to give some to Japan because of the Olympics.
That's right.
And it's getting a little desperate time-wise. There.
They're going to have to cancel the Olympics.
I think so.
I just don't see how you get around that. And that's a shame, but you know what? It's the Olympics. It's, you know, it can be done at some other time. And I know this is a disappointment. And I know it's a terrible thing. Half a billion doses. And the Biden administration made it very clear. There was no strings attached. There's no quid pro quo here. You know,
we're
this is
buying
not,
them and we're giving them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Trump would have sold them out of his trunk as Trump vaccines at a profit for him personally.
And had a wet t-shirt contest, as one person pointed out, which country's going to get the ones with the hottest beach babes.
And the reason we can do this now is the U.S. is averaging fewer than 1 million vaccines per day, which does, in fact, threaten Biden's goal of getting at least 70% of adults at least partially vaccinated by July 4th. At least 13 states have already vaccinated 75% of adults. An additional 15 states plus D.C. are over 60% and will likely reach Biden's goal. COVID-19 hospitalization rates, meanwhile, continue to rise. Guess where? Mm-hmm. In communities with low vaccination rates.
And there are variants and there are situations where it's unpredictable what will happen if you have low vaccination rates. It's scary. Well,
and the communities where low vaccination rates, where vaccination rates are low, they believe critical race theory is the problem.
Is the number one problem facing America.
The there's an awfully big overlap between those people and that problem.
2 days after Joe Manchin vowed to block the federal election reform bill, Mitch McConnell said he would not support the bipartisan John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which Manchin and Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski have urged lawmakers to reauthorize.
I can only assume that Joe Manchin likes having Mitch McConnell slap him in the face with his dick every day because there's no other reason other than he's just a buffoon or he's a fraud. Biden revoked and replaced three Trump executive orders that banned TikTok and WeChat for the United States. And you could hear the cheering come from the teenagers upstairs.
Upstairs.
All the way across town.
The Biden administration moved to repeal a Trump-era rule that ended federal protections for hundreds and thousands of streams and wetlands.
Mm-hmm. The Biden administration determined that more than 3,900 children were separated from their families after the Trump administration implemented its zero-tolerance policy. The report from the administration's Family Reunification Task Force also found that fewer than 60 families are now in the process of being reunited. Nearly 400 children have been repatriated to their country of origin.
So we don't know. We don't know where some of these kids are.
We don't. We don't know what to do with them or where they are. And that was the point. The point of the previous administration
was to kidnap children as a deterrent.
Was to be sadists.
Yeah.
To be absolute monstrous medieval sadists. And they succeeded admirably, and the base loved them for it.
The Biden administration threatened to sue Texas if its Republican Governor Greg Abbott moves forward with plans to close more than 50 shelters housing about 4,000 migrant children. Abbott issued a disaster declaration last week, which directed a state agency to take all necessary steps to deny or discontinue licenses for child care facilities sheltering migrant children within 90 days. He is also trying to build the wall, Greg Abbott, with state tax dollars in Texas. And a whole bunch of people are pointing out that the power grid that just failed, and they haven't forgotten that.
Yeah.
And if tax dollars are going to be spent on infrastructure, the wall is not where you need to spend them.
Would you like to bet that within 6 months, the power grid failure in Texas will have been Biden's fault?
It's Biden's fault.
29% of Republican voters think it's likely that Donald Trump will be reinstated as president this year.
By the Supreme Court, Driftglass.
By the Supreme, maybe a unanimous decision. You don't know. You know, Q is powerful. Trump is powerful. And he was
Pillow told me.
Yeah, that's
the Koch network pressured Joe Manchin to oppose Biden's key legislative items, including filibuster reform and the For the People Act. In a video series from Americans for Prosperity, a Koch super PAC, grassroots supporters were encouraged to push Manchin to, quote, reject Washington's partisan agenda, unquote, and oppose his party's own legislative priorities.
Yep.
By the way, the Poor People's Campaign is marching in West Virginia this week. So, excellent. Tube can play at that game.
I was listening to, I think it was Stuart Stevens, who was saying, there's no better test than, can you get bipartisan support to investigate a mob that broke into your own workplace to murder you?
Yeah, right.
And if you can't get bipartisan support for that, Joe Manchin, what the hell are you even talking about?
Yeah.
And no, the answer is the Koch brothers will be mad at me if I, you know, if I start talking, if I actually start behaving like a Democrat. Capitol Police had intelligence that Trump supporters planned to attack the Capitol at least 2 weeks before the January 6th insurrection. And they refused to act on those threats.
Senate Republicans are blocking the confirmation for Biden's nominee to lead the Federal Personnel Agency because of her support for abortion rights and critical race theory.
Oh, my God.
And she pointed out that critical race theory, she sees it, is that law school academic framework centered on the idea that racism is systemic.
Oh, no. Can't have that.
The delay on Kiran Ahuja's nomination to lead the Office of Personnel Management is being led by, surprise, Josh Hawley of Missouri.
Yeah.
I say of Missouri, ironically. He doesn't live in Missouri. His sister does.
But he's a senator from Missouri. Just one state over from the great state of Illinois, people. You don't have to live there. You can come across the river. We'll welcome you here. We got jobs. We got corn. We got pot that's legal. We got a governor with $1 billion of fuck you money and a progressive mindset. Come on. Get the hell out of there. It's a hellscape. Or rather, stay there. Have your friends come and visit you there. Move there and get Josh Hawley and
the hell out of office.
The hell out of office.
He's got a good candidate running against him. Yes. Yeah.
We already have two Democratic senators, so we don't need you. Just stay there. I stand corrected. New audio reveals that Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, pressured the Ukrainian government in 2019 to investigate baseless conspiracies about Joe Biden.
Lordy, there are tapes.
Yep, there always are. And they don't seem to make a damn bit of difference.
Trump's chief of staff repeatedly pushed the Justice Department to investigate crackpot conspiracy theories about election fraud in 5 emails sent during the last week of December and early January. Mark Meadows asked Jeffrey Rosen, then the acting attorney general, to examine debunked claims of election fraud and insane conspiracies, including Italygate.
Yeah.
Which Rosen declined to do. This is during the lame duck era.
Right.
This is after the election.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't lose. He obviously didn't lose. So there must have been a conspiracy. When you reverse engineer everything from your stupid idea backwards, eventually you have to come up with a conspiracy that explains why your stupid idea didn't work. And that's the universe we live in now, which is 1,000 stupid ideas. And they each sprout new branches and new limbs.
You think there's bamboo in those ballots, Driftglass?
Yeah. Well, in local news, alert listener Ten Grain, pointed out to us that Rodney Davis finally made it into the Politico playbook. The headline is Rodney Davis equals doofus. It appears that committee markups aren't only tedious for the poor CQ committee reporters covering every single one of them. We can say that because we've been there, too. Apparently, Representative Garrett Graves, Republican of Louisiana, got a little antsy at Wednesday's House Transportation Committee markup of the panel's $547 billion surface transportation bill and turned his boredom on his friend, Representative Rodney Davis, our Congress creature from Illinois. Our James Bacalus writes that 5 hours into the markup, Graves typed, Rodney Davis equals doofus into a Word document and then angled the computer towards the camera so everyone could see it. That came after Graves praised Davis for, quote, finally coming up with a good idea when he offered an environmental permitting amendment. Bacalus reports that Graves noted that, quote, C and D plus grades on U.S. infrastructure gets in report cards released by groups like the American Society of Civil Engineers before adding, while Rodney Davis's parents would be ecstatic to see those types of grades, it's unacceptable for other Americans to be living under those conditions.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows Rodney Davis, as we call him, Inert Carbon Rodney, is just a cipher. Is just a dumb.
He doesn't have an original thought in his head.
No. And no. Every now and then he steps a toe over the bipartisanship line because he's good at reading where he gets voted. He knows that in his district, every now and then he has to do something that appears bipartisan.
Right.
And he does. But he is still the guy who whipped votes to take health care away from my family and then mm-hmm. celebrated when he mm-hmm. did it and was congratulated for it, and who so desperately wants to be in the leadership of the fascist Republican Party, he will do anything to get there. So
he's now using his congressional email newsletter to call Governor Pritzker a liar.
Yeah.
In the subject line.
Yeah.
So he's either running for governor, which would be, I mean,
hilarious. Hilarious.
Pritzker has a 57% approval rating right now in Illinois.
Sure. Because of critical race theory.
That's it. Okay.
Once we defeat that blue gal, that'll drop down to 52%.
I really want to see what Pritzker's fuck you money does if somebody comes up to him and says, but what about critical race theory?
Yeah. I think he has people that tackle people like that before they
reach him. He does. I think he has a department of idiots.
Yeah.
You know, send him over to there.
Yeah. Well, when I worked at Columbia College, we had a man who we called affectionately the Dean of Crazy Students.
Yes.
And his job was to sit in an office and very patiently listen to every batshit student who insisted that they were being picked on when they weren't, and their parents lecture him on how my dollars, my money, my tuition money pays your salary.
Right.
And he just was sat there like Buddha, endlessly patient, listening to mm-hmm. it all. And eventually they'd run out of steam and he'd work out something. But we knew that if someone crossed a certain threshold, send him down to the Dean of Crazy Students and mm-hmm. he will take care mm-hmm. of it. And he did. And he did a remarkable job. And I hope he's doing well because
yes.
God knows I could not do that job. By the way, there's a tweet from Bob Seska from June 9th saying that The Hacks, which we love as a TV show, the finale was legendary. And he had to correct that today going, oops, there were two more episodes. So we were not the only ones who thought that episode 8 was the final episode.
That's
but
right.
But it's not. There's two more. So go watch
that
show.
You mean there's two more next week?
No. He thought the one last Thursday was the last one.
Yeah. And it's not. No, it's not. It was 10 episodes.
It's 10 episodes. And, you know, we made that mistake too.
If you have HBO Max, it's well worth watching.
It's really, really, really good.
Really good show.
It's sweet and it's well written and it's.
And we're watching an older show on Netflix too.
We are.
Called Travelers.
Travelers.
The guy, Tony the Democrat from Postcards to Voters.
Uh huh.
Mentioned that he was watching, so I went and checked it out. And we started watching it. There's three seasons on Netflix that we hadn't caught up with.
Holy cats. And it's
so we
really
have like
good.
a summer full of viewing ahead of us.
It's really good. I knew nothing about it. I'm a curmudgeon, so it's like if I didn't hear about it, it couldn't be any good, right? So man, was I wrong. You know, occasionally I'll admit I'm wrong.
It's really not a bad show.
No.
Travelers.
It's Travelers. It's really good. It's a really interesting. Not entirely new, but very.
No, I would say it is not new, and it is not necessarily unique in its plotting.
No, it's a time travel show.
It's a time travel show, but it's well done.
And and where it, I thought it would zig, it zags.
Yeah,
and it is
I think
always
fair.
And you know what? The acting is really good.
And
I mean,
the
casting
really
is 90% of everything. You'll know that if you watch Hacks, and the casting is just really top notch. So. Way to go, TV. Way to go.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Otto. Otto in this picture is sleeping in a clay pot.
Ooh.
Because he blooms where he is planted. That's what he does. That's what Otto does. And of course, Otto eats freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Otto at our Facebook page or website, Driftglass. We're going to have to bring back croc blockers.
I know. I
think crocs are back.
I think that battle has been lost, Blue Gal. Although, if listeners to this podcast know one thing about me, it's that I will always choose the battle that's already over to fight the hardest on the side of.
I have no problem with toddlers wearing Crocs or anyone who needs to rinse off their footwork. If you're out in the garden, if you're dealing with goat herding,
Sure.
You know, if you're doing something where you really need to just be able to take footwear off and run it under the hose, and with little toddlers that have diaper accidents, plastic shoes are the way to go.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But as a fashion statement, I'm afraid we have some teens in this house that have jumped on the Croc bandwagon.
I can't live in that world, Blue Gal. I just can't. I can take a lot. I can tolerate a lot, but that might just be the thing that pushes me over the edge.
Anyhow, mm-hmm. Go visit Otto at our Facebook page and website, and you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We do love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise, hashtag fire to joy, jail to joy. Get your joy out of there. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an iced, please, espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and it's a labor of love. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution you can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We have PayPal, postal address, all of it, merch, everything. It's all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. Thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, now that the state of Illinois has lifted virtually all pandemic restrictions, the internet kitties are looking forward to absolutely nothing changing for them in any way.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional F Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2021 DGBG Productions.